Reading further from the word of the Lord as is written in the first book of Kings, chapter 17. And it was, after these things, that the son of the woman, the widow, the mistress of the house, became sick. And his sickness was very severe, until no breath was remaining in him. And she said unto Elijah, What is there to me and to thee, thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to make my iniquity, and to be remembered, and to make my son die? And he said to her, Give me thy son. And he took the son out of her bosom, and brought him up into the upper room where he dwelt, and laid him upon his own bed. And he called to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn, to put her son to death? And he measured himself upon the child 3 times and called unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray, let the soul of this child return within him. And the Lord hearkened unto the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child returned within him, and he lived. And Elijah took the child up and brought him down out of the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son lives. And the woman said unto Elijah, Now I know this, that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth as truth. And finally, reading from the word of the Lord, as is written in Arcana Celestia, number 8143. When the spiritual good of charity is being instilled, the natural delight of pleasure is removed. When this natural delight is removed, a person comes into temptation, for he believes he is being deprived of all life, because his natural life consists in this natural delight, which he calls good. But he does not know that when this natural delight is removed, spiritual delight, or good, is insinuated by the Lord in its place. But it is to be carefully observed that the man who is being regenerated is not deprived of the pleasures of the body and lower mind, for he fully enjoys them after regeneration, and more fully than before, but in inverse ratio. Before regeneration, natural pleasure was everything of his life. But after regeneration, charity becomes everything of his life. And then pleasures serve as a means and as an ultimate plane in which spiritual good, with its happiness and blessedness, is completed. Amen. In our story, the woman, at first, is hungry. She has very little good. She needs more good. The Lord rewards her hunger by giving her all the good she needs because she gives good to her neighbor. This is the miracle of good. When we give good for others, the Lord feeds our hunger for good. You can imagine that when somebody really needs a loving friend, it is only when they reach out with love that friends reach out back to them. If someone is just seething in their own sorrow and misery, all alone, never wanting to be with anyone, just wanting to be left alone, no good can come of them. They must share their good with others. Otherwise, the Lord cannot bless them. But here is something to always remember. When we commit to good, when we do good in the name of the Lord, we will be attacked. Temptation is when you choose good, and because you chose it, the hells attack. They stir up that part of you that really doesn't like doing good. When you shun an evil as a sin, The hells will stir up that part of you that really wants to sin, and it will not be pleasant. This is the trouble sometimes, the temptation, the struggle with doing good, that so often, at first, it isn't fun. It's not pleasurable. It's not delightful. It's not always what we want to do. The woman, after choosing good, even though she always has enough, her son becomes sick and dying. She is in an even darker temptation. She's chosen good. She's done what she thinks is right. And yet, she doesn't seem to be rewarded. She goes to Elijah, knowing that he's a man of God, and through him prays to the Lord and says, "What have you done? Did you come just to save us, just to kill my son?" A woman like this, without her son, that's what she's living for. This is her temptation. This represents any person in the church facing this kind of temptation. The reason for her living, the fruit of her womb, is dying. And what does the Lord do with Elijah? Elijah receives the son, brings the son up into a higher room, and there the son is resurrected. He's brought back to life in the higher room. And once he's alive again, once the fruit of her womb, her son, is alive again, then he brings the son back down and returns him to the woman. The Lord tells us that food is not just nourishing, it's delightful. It's why fruit is sweet. It's why children can bring parents so much joy and delight. It's said that a parent is only as happy as their saddest child, because that's where a parent sees their delight. The woman's son represents that delight that she can have. It's that fruit, it's the good that she can do, but it's not just the good she can do, it's the delight she receives from doing that good. And it seems like it's dying. When we do reach out to others, it will seem like the good we're doing is being attacked, that we're receiving no joy from it, that the delight is gone. But if we pray to the Lord will return that pleasure to us. He will rise it up, give it new life, and bring it back down. An excellent example of this is in marriage. The beginning of romance, there's that passion and fire that seems to feel like love. You can hear it in songs and in pop culture. People who are engaged or dating can tell you that they're filled with the fires of love. Those who are older might laugh, knowing that that's not really love. It just feels like it. And it's only through the struggles and temptations and trials of life that husbands and wives grow to truly love each other. It's the love at the end of life that a spouse has for their partner that is true love. It's worth asking a widow or widower in their old age about love towards their spouse, and if there's still that fire that can be there. It might not be, it might be. But they understand love in a way that the young cannot. No matter how much a young person might ask about it, it has to be experienced. Which is why the Lord has given all of us this life, that we may experience the struggle and the bliss, the blessedness that comes at the end of struggle. That we might be like the woman. The Lord will come to us and ask us, feed your neighbor, share your good. And the Lord will fill us with good. But then the Lord will do something even more wonderful, more miraculous. He will raise up all those natural delights of life. And when they come back down, they will be even more powerful, filled with a spiritual understanding of all that's contained within. A great example of this is in Holy Supper. Bread and wine are delightful. They're pleasurable. It's good to enjoy the flavor of Holy Supper. But knowing all the blessedness that is contained therein, how it represents the Lord blessing us with His good and truth, with His love and wisdom, when you take that bread and drink that wine, it can be filled with all the good and truth and love and wisdom that the Lord is pouring forth into your life. All the good and orderly delights of life can be filled with this spiritual recognition that the Lord will bless you now and forevermore. So when we face temptation, remember the words of Elijah. Fear not. Give me thy son, for he will raise him up and give him new life. Amen.